Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast this Friday morning. We've got a treat now. Every Friday, it's Friday Legends Day. We're going to speak to one of our stars of the past, I guess you'd say, Lozzer and Clarkey. We're about to be joined by one of the good guys of Australian sport. In fact, he's still the second fastest man in Australian history, Matt Shervington. Good morning to you.
Good morning, boys. Jeez, you use the term legends loosely.
Oh, come on, mate. Let's go back. In fact, let's go back. 1993. So Juan Antonio Semeranch announces, and the winner is Sydney. Where's Matt Shervington that day? And did you have the dream that day to be an Olympian?
Do you know what? I did. It's one of those stories where a lot of when you visit schools and so on, you ask kids, you know, do you want to be an Olympian? And they kind of go, yeah, whatever. But I was kind of like that as a kid. But when it happened, there was a big screen at Circular Quay, I remember, that was set up. And a friend of mine said to me, we should go down. I think I was maybe 12 or 13. And I got a call in the middle of the night. It would have been maybe announced at 2 a.m. Mm. And went down to Manly, caught a ferry across to Circular Quay, and I literally arrived at Circular Quay when Juan Antonio was announcing that we had won it, right in front of the big screen. So I remember it vividly, but, you know, with the shadow of a doubt, I didn't think I'd be there. 7 years on, I would have been 20 years old. There was no way that I'd be able to compete at an Olympic Games in front of your hometown. In possibly the Blue Ribbon event, which is the 100 metres. So, yeah, I remember it. I do very much remember it.
Shervo, as a kid, was it just athletics or what other sports did you love?
Oh, I played everything as a kid. Didn't play a lot of cricket, I've got to be honest, Clarkie.
Smart man.
My favourite sport was actually baseball. So in the summertime, I used to go down a little athletics. I'd do a couple of events. And then I'd head off to baseball. And that was my real great love as a kid growing up, and got to a pretty decent level. And then athletics kind of took over. But, I played everything. I went to a rugby league school. I went to Marist College in North Shore. Mm. And we had a pretty good history of successful rugby league players come through there. And we were a scholarship school for the North Sydney Bears at the time. So
what position were you, Shervo? Outside back, no doubt.
Mate, out on the wing, of course. I was praying I didn't get the ball at any point. You know, my greatest talent out on a footy field was when I was in defence asking people to slide my way.
So Shervo, 98 to the Commonwealth Games in Kuala Lumpur. You ran 10:03. Was that your PB?
That was my best. Yeah. That was an amazing trip, really. I left Australia and my personal best time was, I think it was 10.28, which I had just run the national junior record. And I remember leaving the country and I went over to World Cup in Johannesburg. And Johannesburg is at altitude. So anything over, I think it's 1,200 metres is not deemed as a ratified time, or you have an asterisk next to it. And I ran the national record there, 10.07. And I thought, that was amazing considering the improvement I'd had since I'd left Australia, but I didn't really think much of it because it was at altitude. Anyway, literally 3 or 4 days later, I went to Kuala Lumpur and competed and ran 10:03 at sea level. And that was where I kind of thought, geez, actually, that's a legitimate time. So, yeah, but it stood for a long time, that personal best. And forever and a day, I chased to break 10 seconds and it never really came for me.
Shervo, what was it like? Because no doubt, growing up, you know, you had to work and you had to go to school, and to reach the level that you did, you had to be totally committed. So what was your sort of training regime like? Was it early mornings, late nights? How did you go about combining everything?
Yeah, it was, look, any Olympian will tell you the balance is difficult. It's a bit different in a team sport. I think for most team sports, you kind of get given an agenda and a schedule that you all follow and you all meet up together and you all train together. Whereas as an individual athlete, you kind of have to find your own self-motivation to get out there and do it. It is a difficult balance, but one thing that I did realise, you know, once retired, geez, you take it for granted as well. You really do have a great lifestyle, being able to keep yourself in physical and mental shape and then try and balance everything else. My idea was, you know, if I could get the best out of myself training-wise and survive financially, it was kind of a bit of a bonus, you know. Like, I just wanted to do well in my sport. But the great thing about athletics, and similar to cricket, is you get a chance to discover the world. And, I mean, that's just a really great little addition to the experience, is being able to compete in Africa, in the US, in Europe. I mean, Europe was unbelievable during a summertime for an athlete, because you could go literally any country, any major city, and compete, pack an overnight bag, and then go back. I had a base in London, so I used to come and go from London. So it was an amazing lifestyle. But you're right, Loz, the management of time is a difficult thing. And I think, you know, look, I've got to be honest. I mean, professional sport, even now, I think even the footy players are going to have a look at that going forward, because there may not be the funds and the ability to just focus on sport alone these days.
Chervo, so let's fast forward then from 98 to 2000, and you're standing on the blocks there, Sydney Olympics, Heat 9, men's 100 metres. What on earth is going through your head at that point?
Yeah, what an amazing thing. As I said, I grew up half an hour away. I mean, I grew up where you guys are now, at French's Forest, and half an hour from Homebush. I remember going to Homebush for the first time for a little athletics competition. I was in a relay team to open the warm-up track for the Olympic Games. And even at that point, I didn't know I was going to be running at the Games. I think I was 15 years old. And to walk out and... You know, don't forget, ANZ Stadium at that time had extra seating, so it was about 110,000 people, which you just don't get stadiums like that anymore. So to walk out and line up for my first heat in the 100 was, just phenomenal. It was the local support. I remember a murmuring around the stadium of people just sort of under their breath saying, "Sherva, Sherva," like that, and it just built and built and built. And I crap my dacks, I've got to be honest. It was pretty nerve-wracking.
And just like the devastation it must have been. Oh, how did you feel when you missed the final by, what, 0.1 of a second?
Yeah, by a spot. But that's the nature of the game, isn't it? You know, you do your absolute best, and sometimes it comes off, sometimes it doesn't. I was so devastated. I'll never forget that moment, obviously. And in sport, most will tell you, you suffer through the pain a lot more than you celebrate the adulation. So it's definitely something that created that molded my character, I guess, going forward. But it was really difficult. I remember trying to pick myself up. I had a 100, 200 and a relay event at those games. And it was really hard going back to the village and picking myself up and getting back out there. But it's what you do, isn't it?
You certainly do, Sherva. Now on this program, mate, I ask all the tough questions, all right?
Oh, no. Where's this going, Loz?
Well, I think Sherva knows where this is going. The package.
I know what you're
going to say. If you were running now, you'd be viral, mate. This would be on YouTube. We'd be looking at it. We'd be laughing. I mean, in the Fair Dinkum department, was it set up or it just happened that way?
Mate, no, it just happened that way.
What do you mean, was it set
well,
up?
Well, he might have just looked to promote it a bit more.
Look, you know, it's funny, I still run into people, they still say it. And, you know, the greatest comment is, how do you feel about, you know, your legacy not being about how many medals you won? Anyway. I've got this very good friend of mine that whenever it comes up, he definitely keeps me grounded with it. Someone says, you know, I remember that day and the pants and all of that. And he jumps over my shoulder and he goes, "The camera puts on 10 pounds."
Hey, Sherva, it's not a bad thing to be remembered for.
Oh, good stuff.
Sherva, what about your other career highlight, Dancing with the Stars in 2004? Tell us about that.
Come on. Is your only research Wikipedia?
Buddy, I thought you were great. Voted off way too early.
Oh, thank you, mate.
No, it should have been top three.
Great at the cha-cha.
Yeah, should have been top three.
Do you know how that came up? I actually, I pulled out of the 2004 Athens Games. I had glandular fever and I was really struggling. And went back home to London and, I'll never forget it. I got a call. This new show, it's called Dancing with the Stars in Australia, and would love you to be on the first series of it. And I was like, nah, not going to happen. Anyway, my mother-in-law said to me, because the show was on in London at the time, and she said, it's great. I love it. You should go back. And anyway, they were going to pay my way back home, and I was doing nothing. So I thought, you know what? Just go back and do it. Just go back and do it. And anyway, so that's how it panned out. But yes, I quite enjoyed it in the end, but yeah, won't be doing that again.
Shervo, one of the areas I guess a lot of sports men and women really struggle with is that transition. So once you work out that your time's up, you're walking away, what else are you going to do? And I guess for you, you've been heavily involved in TV over a long period of time. How did you fall into that? And is it something you always wanted and was planning through your career?
Definitely nothing I assumed that I'd fall into. Do you know what? It actually came off the back of the Dancing with the Stars stuff. So I got asked to do a casting after that for a science and tech show on Channel 7 called Beyond Tomorrow, which I think I did about 45 episodes of that while I was still training and really enjoyed that. Got sort of my hands dirty with TV. And after that, Brian Walsh over at Foxtel called me and said, we've won the rights to the Olympic Games. Would you like to be involved in the broadcast team? And that would be absolutely fantastic. Love to do it. So my first experience in regards to sports broadcasting was over in the Vancouver Winter Olympic Games. And I was traveling up and down. Cypress Mountain was the host mountain for a lot of the freestyle events. And we did really well. So Lydia Lassiter won the freestyle aerials. Tora Bright won the gold medal in the half pipe snowboard. And I was there covering it down in the mix zone, getting interviews afterwards. And it was just such a dream. I remember thinking, this is amazing. This is what I really, really want to do. And after that, I went on to the Commonwealth Games in Delhi and then the Youth Olympic Games in Singapore and then on to London 2012. And Patrick Delaney, the CEO of Foxtel now, mentioned to me over in London, we've just extended our broadcast rights for NRL. Would you like to be involved? Are you a fan of the game? And I mean, as I said, I grew up in Sydney and very, very close to the game. And I thought, you know what, I'd love to give it a go. And mate, it was a really tough transition. You talk about transitions from elite sport into another career path. Moving into TV was bloody hard. I've made every mistake there is to make life to air. And even to this day, I'm learning. It's a great industry to be in, though. It's a dream to know that you can be a part of sport in some way and a continued career. So yeah, I've been pretty lucky, I've got to be honest.
And Shervo, you've also dabbled in coaching, acceleration and speed at all different organisations, AFL, rugby league, rugby union. And I suppose you get asked this question all the time, but who are some of the athletes that you've worked with or would like to work with that you think that, geez, they've got pure speed? They could have maybe transitioned from their sport into athletics.
Yeah, you're right. There are a lot of great athletes in many different sports that could have gone on to other events, other sports, and done really well that we've seen. This is my favourite thing to do, I've got to be honest. Face-to-face training with elite athletes is just such a blast. Some of the footy players have such an immense level of talent. You're right, I started working in rugby first with the Waratahs and then moved on to the Sydney Swans. I was speed and agility coach for them for about 5 years and then moved into league. So I started at St. George Illawarra Dragons and then I've since been for the last 3 years with Canterbury Bankstown and worked with some amazing athletes. It's a really interesting one because the sport requires, depending on the code, the sport requires different elements of speed. So for rugby and for league, it's kind of that short acceleration off the line in a straight line that is most valuable.
Yep.
And then also for the forwards is to keep that momentum going through the line as well and then accelerating again. So that's really fun. But then AFL is 360 degrees, so you've really got to have the ability to stop, start, change direction. And then you've got the endurance capacity element of it as well. So looking back, some of the best athletes that I've worked with that could have transitioned into track and field, one that stands out the most is Gary Rowan. When he was at the Swannies, I remember him doing sort of rep 300s and thinking he could have been a 400-metre runner in track and field without a doubt.
Wow.
In terms of straight line speed, geez, who jumps out? I remember working with Jamie Sauer down at the Dragons, and him over a 40 was bloody quick. He was very fast. Right now, I mean, I'd love to work with someone like Josh Adokar. I think he's a real athlete. Like, he's a proper athlete.
Could he get under 11 seconds?
Oh, I reckon he could. Yeah, I reckon he could. Absolutely. Yeah. And just, I mean, he's got that modern body type for a sprinter, where he's long and lean rather than sort of explosive and stocky. And I reckon once he's up and running, he's bloody quick. But James Roberts as well, over at South. I mean, him over a 40, very quick too. So he's probably the quickest I've seen over 40 in the most modern game.
Well, Shervo, it's been a great life in athletics and media for you so far. Thanks so much for being our Friday legend this week, and have a great weekend, mate.
Can I just say something very quickly?
Absolutely.
You know, when you used to drop by Super Saturday and you used to work for about 30 seconds and we were on air for 7 hours, I've just got to say, you're serving your penance now that you're on air for hours on air.
Yeah. I did a minute and a half's work in 6 hours. I used to sit there with the Shervo, Braith and Gazney.
Same pay, less pressure.
Give them terrible tips, basically, for the afternoon. But I was just doing what I was told, Shervo.
What's that?
I was just doing what I was told. Yeah, simple as that.
You did a great job, and you're doing a great job,
guys. On you, thanks so much, Shervo. Matt Shervington there, one of the good guys of Australian media, and a great athlete, of course, 100-metre sprinter back at Sydney 2000.